The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. If woke social justice warriors really wanted to honor George Floyd, then what they do is demand that Joe Biden closes the southern border. We're talking about that next on the Carl Jackson Show.
Redeemed, rehabilitated, and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson Podcast.
Hey, welcome to today's podcast. I'm going to do something a little differently. I'm going to harken back to the days of George Floyd. And the reason why I'm going to do so, I'm going to read this headline to you from USA Today. And then I want to get into some of the things that were found in George Floyd's system. And I'm going to tie George Floyd, his death together with the open border crisis that we have at our southern border. A lot of people aren't talking about the southern border anymore. I do not know why. It is in horrible condition, and it is set to get even worse once Title 42 is upended by the Biden administration. And already right now we have what Biden, his administration is trying to do is create a new Negro vote, what I call the new Negro vote. They're losing so many Latinos. They're even starting to lose Black voters, Democrats are. And so they're trying to usher in a new group of a permanent underclass that will continue to vote for the Democrat Party. These people in the Democrat Party are bigots. They're racist. They don't care about you succeeding. They need you to fail so that they remain in power. That's the way that it works, folks. So once you understand the Democratic modus operandi, you will never vote for the Democrat Party again. So let's tie these two together. I know a lot of people, I'm not going to conflate the issue with Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin is a separate issue. I have my issues. I don't believe that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd. I know 99% of people disagree with me, even conservatives. Move on, shut up, so on, etc. But anyway, listen, I have my opinion about that. However, today, that's a separate issue for another day. Maybe I'll talk about that again some other day. But what I do want to talk about is the fentanyl crisis that we're seeing exploding right here in the United States as a result of our open borders. I'm going to talk about some of the solutions that the Biden administration claims to be implementing or that they are implementing, which are no solutions at all. And then I just want to challenge you, social justice warriors that may have been out on the street campaigning. That's probably a better word, right? Campaigning for BLM Inc. But all of you supporters of Black Lives Matter and you social justice warriors out there, in my opinion, if you really wanted to honor George Floyd, then what you would be doing is demanding that the southern borders are closed. Carl, how can you say that? All right. Let me get into this this topic. First off, let me remind you of the drugs that were in George Floyd's system at the time of his death. All right. These were the drugs. I want you to remember this. All right. Get Chauvin out of your head for a second. Here's what I want you to remember. The drugs inside of George Floyd's system at the time of his death. Fentanyl, right? Deadly drug, right? So if George Floyd didn't die that day, which I think he might have, he would have died soon after another day because he was knowingly taking fentanyl. He was also taking methamphetamines. He also had COVID too, the Wuhan virus at the time, right? When we didn't know what was going on, really. Or actually, I take that back. We did know about the Wuhan virus at the time of his death. But so he had SARS-CoV-2. He had fentanyl in his system. He had methamphetamines in his system. And if I'm not mistaken, he sat in the car outside of the grocery store that he just ripped off. And if I recall correctly, he may have been smoking some weed. I could be wrong. If I am, forgive me. But I'm sorry, methamphetamines, fentanyl is enough to kill you, especially combined. Now, Having said that, let's go to this column. USA Today, more than 107,000 Americans died from overdoses last year. This drug is behind most deaths. Now, I got into this a little bit on my radio show, but I want to go in deeper with this. And again, I'm going to challenge you, all of you that supported Black Lives Matter, you should be demanding, if you really want to honor George Floyd, you should be demanding that the southern borders are closed. Why? All right, listen to this. Deaths from the synthetic opioid fentanyl increased 23% to account for two-thirds of overdoses last year, 2021, this according to the CDC. The nation's drug overdose epidemic worsened in 2021 as deaths surpassed 100,000 in the second year of COVID of the COVID-19 pandemic. This, again, according to the CDC. The CDC's National Center for Health Statistics figures released Wednesday showing a record 107,622 drug overdose deaths in 2021. That's a 14.9% increase from the 93,655 overdose deaths the year before. So in 2020, 93,655 overdose deaths in the year 2020. That number jumps nearly 15%, 14.9% to be accurate, to 107,622 deaths in 2021. This should be all over the headlines. But why isn't it? Why isn't it? You know why it isn't in the headlines. Because this will destroy the Biden administration. This would force people to start focusing not only on the issue of the overdose crisis in and of itself that's popping up around the United States, but it'll also force people to start paying attention to the southern border that Democrats want you to ignore. Where does fentanyl come from? It's being shipped from China. Now they're starting to develop grades of fentanyl in Mexico. Our southern borders are open. It's flooding through our southern border. The Biden administration is literally dropping off illegal immigrants in different parts of the country. Some of them working as mules. Some of them, in order to pay back the cartels, are having to ship drugs into the country for us. Listen, if you were serious, if the United States government was serious about a quote unquote war on drugs, the first thing they would do is shut the southern border where people cannot get through. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, people can't get out either. Listen, we live in a somewhat free United States of America, and it's up to us to keep it that way. But people definitely shouldn't be able to get in as easily or as they are able to. We have the kindest immigration system in the entire world. And if you listen to the Democrat Party or if you listen to the left, you would think that we are the most cruel people in the entire world. We let in legally approximately 1 million people every single year. That doesn't account for all of the people that are breaking in and invading our country and now overflooding our country, some of them anyway, with drugs. You guys remember Bishop Evans that tried to, he was the Black Texas National Guard member who tried to save a couple of illegal immigrants in the Rio Grande. He was swept underneath the current. He ended up drowning to death to save their lives. And reports are that they were drug smugglers that he saved. You don't hear the media even talking about Bishop Evans. All right, now let me go back to this column. While prescription painkillers and heroin drove the nation's overdose epidemic last decade, all right, so heroin, painkillers, the powerful synthetic opioid, fentanyl, is now responsible for most of the overdose deaths today. Overdose deaths from fentanyl climbed to 71,238 last year from 57,834 in 2020. This according to the CDC. Basically, a fentanyl overdose accounts for over 70% of the overdose deaths that we're seeing in the United States today. All right, so illicit versions of fentanyl have increasingly been manufactured in labs that are overseas. Again, China. All right. But also we have Mexico right here in our northern territory that are starting to produce fentanyl as well, because China was shipping it to Mexico so people could take it through our southern border. Now Mexico has got their own thing going, their cartels do. So, and these drugs are sold on the black market. They're mixed with other street drugs. So that's a danger, right? People are taking street drugs that don't know, don't understand that fentanyl is mixed in, and they're dying. It's crazy. The street version is different from the legal fentanyl. Going back to this column, this in USA Today, a powerful pain medicine vetted by the FDA is what they use in hospitals, obviously, and prescribed medical settings to treat intense pain or cancer patients. This is a doctor from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Her name is Dr. Nora Valkal, or Valkal. Illicit fentanyl has been the driving cause of the latest wave of overdose deaths, she says. And she says, quote, the synthetic opioid fentanyl has injected itself throughout our whole country. It's everywhere. And she's absolutely right. Again, going back to my point at the beginning of this podcast, you have these open borders. You have the Biden-Harris administration, excuse me, and Democrats wanting these open borders. You have these NGOs that claim that non-government organizations or these some Catholic charities or just nonprofit organizations that say they care about life. They care about the lives of the illegal immigrants, but they don't seem to care about the American citizens that are dying every freaking day as a result of these open borders. I have no respect for these people. These people that try to do good in the name of Christ while they don't pay attention to the consequences once these people leave their NGOs. It's sickening to me. It's maddening. That isn't compassion. You're not having compassion on the American citizens that have bust their butt, or the legal immigrants that have bust their butts to do things the right way. You don't have compassion on the people whose jobs are being taken as a result of a shortage in the labor market. You don't have compassion for those people, or I shouldn't say a shortage in the labor market, but you have people, it's the exact opposite, but you have people having to compete with jobs with illegal immigrants. This should not be here. You guys heard of the baby formula crisis? For God's sakes, they've got pallets now. We find out the other day, they've got pallets of baby formula being shipped to illegal immigrants while United States citizens, mothers across the country, have to worry as to whether or not they're going to be able to get baby formula for their children. Well, Carl, why don't they just breastfeed? Not all women can. And some babies are deficient in certain nutrients that the breast milk doesn't contain, so they have to have specialized types of formula. But I don't want to jump off subject here, so let me go back to this. Again, this lady says, this Dr. Nora Valkal, the synthetic opioid fentanyl has injected itself throughout the whole country. Stimulants such as methamphetamine were detected in 32,856 overdose deaths, and cocaine in 24,538. Basically, those are the drugs that are being mixed with, I guess they're finding, that are most likely to be mixed with the fentanyl. In many cases, more than one drug is found in a fatal mixture of the substances, it goes on to say. Experts say illicitly manufactured fentanyl is often mixed, again, with the cocaine, methamphetamine. They're also mixed with counterfeit prescription opioids, so that's something to keep in mind. And unsuspecting victims are the ones oftentimes that are dying of this stuff. So people who intend to buy non-opioid street drugs might have no idea they are getting a toxic combination that's cut with fentanyl, all right? And then for a person who has built no tolerance for opioids, whether prescription pain pills or heroin or street fentanyl, taking street drugs cut with fentanyl obviously can be fatal. So if their body hasn't built up a tolerance, there's no doubt. You go back to George Floyd, he had been taking fentanyl, so his body built up somewhat of a tolerance. But you could see if there was any type of exerted activity, if he would have went out and played basketball that day. I understand, if I recall correctly, he was athletic. I can't remember if it was football, basketball, or whatever. But if he would have gone out, you know, just playing some street hoops or something that day, chances are the guy would have died. You got a mixture of fentanyl and methamphetamines. I dare you. I challenge you. Go online and look at the instances where police officers that have dealt with fentanyl after finding it on a perp. You know, there was one. There was this real buff guy that I saw. It was on YouTube. And he was going through the perp stuff after this guy had been arrested. He was in a separate room from other officers. He had gloves on. And he touched the fentanyl and the guy lost. He couldn't stand anymore. He lost it. He fell back. That's what we're talking about. This is the stuff that they're putting on the street. The cops rushed into him. Thank God they were able to get medical attention. He went to the hospital. He was able to survive. But somebody, obviously he didn't have a tolerance for it. So imagine somebody on the street, no other officers are around, no one around to call anyone, to call the paramedics. Boom, someone's dead. That easy. All right. So going on, this is Chris Delcher. He's a University of Kentucky professor and director of the Institute for Pharmaceutical Outcomes and Policies. Here's what he says. He says, we're finding that people are overdosing because they've had no exposure to the opioids that powerful. We like to categorize our deaths, he says, to a single drug or a single cause of death. What's happening right now, though, on the street is this incredible experiment in combinations of drugs. Again, going back to that mixture. The column goes on to say I want you to listen to this. This is when people, and honestly, some of these lefties and liberals might be thinking they're doing something nice. They're just not. All right. So here's the Biden-Harris administration solutions to this problem. Here's what they say. All right. So they say the Biden's administration drug control strategy includes a couple of things, a few things, actually three: expanding access to the overdose reversal drug naloxone, N-A-L-O-X-O-N-E, fentanyl test strips. So expanding access to the overdose reversal drug naloxone, fentanyl test strips. All right. Sterile needles. Providing sterile needles. These techniques are known as harm reduction. This is aimed to both prevent overdoses and reduce disease transmission. All right. So they want to prevent overdoses. They want to reduce disease transmission. What's wrong with that statement? Can somebody talk about stopping the flow of opioids across, illegal opioids across our southern border altogether? Is somebody going to care enough about these people that says, you know what, that's not enough. We care too much about these people. We want them to get off of these drugs altogether. And we're going to help with, you know, local communities or whatever, a partner with them. I don't like big government partnership, but you know what I mean? There's other ways in which state governments, actually, this is a better idea for state governments to partner with local communities to help people. And not by using these, known as the harm reduction processes. And I understand the fentanyl test strips. Okay. I get it. I get these people that want to help, but ultimately this is not help. This is a problem. This is enabling. This is enabling a crackhead, you know, no wonder Hunter Biden continues. I mean, like Joe Biden, he's enabled his son, in my opinion. Democrat Party is doing the same with drug abusers across the United States. The Biden plan cited the importance of, quote, syringe services, programs that provide access to. Now, they're denying this now, right? Programs that provide. Oh, no, that was the crack pipe. Sorry. The Biden plan cited the importance of syringe services, programs that provide access to and disposal of clean needles and injection equipment and links to substance use disorder treatment. The plan calls for increasing the number of syringe services programs in counties with high overdose rates and expanding the use of fentanyl test strips. The studies have shown drug users who used test strips that detected fentanyl were more likely to switch to safer methods, such as taking a smaller amount or avoiding the drug. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that someone that is addicted to drugs is going to say, huh, let me take a smaller dose? These people are crazy. All right. The Biden plan also aims to increase access to medications such as buprenorphine for people seeking treatment for opioid addiction. It's the first time an administration has named this is a woman by the name of Dalia Heller. No doubt a person with good intentions, just absolutely wrong. But here's what she has to say. It's the first time an administration has named harm reduction techniques as part of a national drug control policy. She's the vice president of drug use initiatives for Vital Strategies, a global public health nonprofit organization. I should have guessed. And she says, and I quote, the federal government can really play a leading role in pushing states to expand access to programs on the ground. Dalia Heller, what the federal government should be doing is closing the freaking southern border. For God's sakes, it's as if these people create problems. Those on the left are the Democrat Party. So they create the opioid crisis by leaving the southern border open. And then they act like they're fixing the problem. So they create a problem. You almost have to wonder if it's intentional. I'm not saying that it is, but it just makes you wonder. So they create a problem and then they offer solutions to fix it. The problem is their solutions will never fix it. All right. Biden's plan cited research that shows drug users who have access to needle exchange programs are more likely to seek drug treatment, and such programs help reduce transmission of HIV and hepatitis C among drug users. I like to see the stats to that. We know the stats of the people that are dying. The borders have been wide open, right? And we know for a fact, as a result of the stats that I read that the USA Today even cited for themselves, that deaths due to overdose have increased by approximately 15%. So we know those stats. Where are the stats that show these methods used by the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, are working? I doubt that they can really find some good stats on this stuff. Now, thank God, some people with some common sense emerge. Senator Marco Rubio and Senator Joe Manchin, 11 states prohibit the operation of needle exchange programs. So both Republican Senator Marco Rubio and Joe Manchin, a Democrat, they introduced legislation that would, quote, prohibit spending federal dollars for needles on other paraphernalia for use at syringe services centers. So there you have a common sense Democrat, a common sense Republican that says, wait a minute, aren't we just enabling these people by giving them syringes, for God's sakes? This is crazy. Going back to the gentleman from the University of Kentucky, what is the University of Kentucky professor and director of the Institute for Pharmaceutical Outcomes and Policy. Here's what he had to say. He said operating a syringe services center is challenging even when states allow such programs. Some healthcare providers might be reluctant or unavailable to serve people at such centers. And the centers need to build trust and rapport among drug users they intend to help. So they're treating other patients. They're going to treat drug users. They have to build a relationship with them. This stuff is just fantasy land. It really is. And I'm not saying that some won't build relationships, but the left have this dystopic view of society that's childlike. That's why these people shouldn't be running anything. They're like teenagers. He says, Delcher goes on to say, and I quote, even when you manage to establish a program like that, it still doesn't mean it will effectively be used. There's still that stigma. He says there are still those healthcare providers who wouldn't want to be part of that. So changing laws is not the only answer. Obviously, these people, these drug addicts, they need Christ. They need a great support system around them. I do believe, listen, states should help out, and they do oftentimes with centers where people can hopefully go get free of the bondage of drug addiction or alcoholism, but I also believe there needs to be faith-based initiatives that participate in that. If these NGOs would go to these places and see the devastation that this that the fentanyl crisis is causing, perhaps their time would be better spent and their care even would be better spent on these people. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't love people all across the globe, but we also have to work within the realms of the law. And breaking the law, coming into this country illegally, is wrong. So I say, all of you that really say you care about the overdose crisis, then you should be demanding that the southern border is closed. For all of you Black Lives Matter supporters that say you care about George Floyd and you wanted justice, well, part of justice is making sure that no other Black person or minority gets hooked to fentanyl as a result of them freely coming in to our southern border. So think about that. All right, guys, listen, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you tuning in to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast everywhere podcasts are found. SalemPodcastNetwork.com, TheCarlJacksonPodcast.com. You can also listen on CarlJacksonShow.com. But anywhere podcasts are found, like, subscribe, Apple, Google, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble. But again, some of the easiest places, SalemPodcastNetwork.com, TheCarlJacksonPodcast.com. Boom, done. And then follow me on my social media sites. Really want to build those up. I really want to help you fight for freedom. We're in this fight together. It's easier to have a voice when you have a social media following. I've neglected this over the years, trying to build that up. So go to Instagram, The Carl Jackson Show on Instagram, Facebook, subscribe, like there, share, if you would. I'd appreciate that. Twitter, The Carl Jackson Show. Where else am I? True Social, The Carl Jackson Show. Everywhere on social media that I can be found, The Carl Jackson Show is where you will find me. Guys, until next time, don't grow weary doing good, and God bless you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.